They say being alone is a sign of failure, that if you have no friends, something must be wrong with you. But the Stoics saw this differently. They knew that solitude, far from being a curse, could become the greatest arena for self-mastery. Marcus Aurelius, the Emperor of Rome, wrote alone in his journal night after night, not surrounded by friends, but surrounded by thoughts. And in that solitude, he forged a strength that still echoes through time. If you are without friends right now, that is not your weakness. It is your test. It is your arena. And it is your opportunity to become unshakable. Don't just listen. Comment, "Solitude builds me right now," if you know this season of your life is about building your inner foundation. This moment is not about being liked. It is about being whole. Friendship, while valuable, is not essential to living well. Epictetus said, "Seek not for events to happen as you wish, but wish them to happen as they do, and your life will flow smoothly." The absence of friends is an event. And instead of resisting it, you can align with it. You can ask, "What is this silence trying to teach me?" It might teach you that the noise of company had distracted you, that comfort had kept you from facing certain truths about yourself. When the voices disappear, your inner voice grows louder. That voice tells you what habits you've neglected, what fears you've hidden, what strength you've failed to claim. This is not loneliness, it is exposure. The Stoics did not chase friendship to avoid discomfort. They embraced solitude when needed, and more importantly, they prepared for it. Seneca once wrote, "The wise man is self-sufficient." He did not mean that the wise man has no need for others. He meant that even when others are absent, he lacks nothing. You lack nothing now, even if no one is texting you, even if no one is inviting you out, even if no one checks on you. What you need to live well, to live nobly, is already inside you, your reason, your principles, your power to choose. That cannot be taken away, not by silence, not by neglect, not by abandonment. But you must cultivate that inner fire, because if you don't, the cold of solitude will freeze you, and then you will confuse stillness with stagnation. The Stoic approach is not passive. It's not about sitting in silence, waiting for life to change. It's about using solitude like a sword to cut away false identities, to sharpen your focus, to reclaim your soul. Ask yourself, who are you without anyone watching? Who are you without applause, without validation, without social proof? If your answer is unclear, then this season, this lack of friends, is your greatest gift. It's the time to define yourself, not through others, but through your own actions, hour by hour. Think of it like this. The universe has removed the noise so you can hear your own rhythm. You've been given the space to evolve without interference. No expectations, no social masks, no emotional negotiations, just you. And the task at hand, to live with excellence, whether seen or unseen. But that won't come easy. At first, you'll feel the pull of the crowd. You'll want to reach out just to avoid silence. You'll crave replies that don't arrive. You'll wonder if you're disappearing. But what's really happening is that your ego is dissolving. And that is sacred. That's purification. That's growth. And then one morning, it clicks. You no longer need the message. You no longer check your phone as much. You stop wondering who's thinking about you. Because now, you are thinking for yourself. You are fully here, present in your own life, no longer outsourcing your value to anyone else. This is what Stoicism prepares you for. Not just to endure solitude, but to be reborn in it. To emerge from it with fewer illusions and more inner command. And with that comes power. Quiet power, not to dominate others, but to never again be ruled by your own fear of being alone. Let's be clear, friends are not enemies. The Stoics had friends, Seneca mentored others, Marcus had advisors, Epictetus taught students. But none of them allowed friendship to become dependency. Their peace was not rented, it was owned. Their worth was not borrowed, it was realized. And what about you? Are you learning to stand on your own? Or are you still waiting for someone to come save you from your own reflection? The Stoic path is narrow but clear. Walk through the silence and become someone even solitude respects. When you train your mind in this way, the absence of friendship no longer feels like rejection. It feels like redirection. Your attention turns inward towards self-mastery, discipline, and truth. You stop asking, "Why am I alone?" and start asking, "What must I become while I'm here?" That shift changes everything. You wake up not to messages, but to missions. You fill your calendar not with meetups, but with movement. You define your worth not by who includes you, but by how well you act in alignment with your values, even when no one is watching. So many people chase connection because they fear their own minds. They want company because they cannot stand stillness. They believe friendship will fix their broken parts, but the Stoic does not use others as a cure. He confronts himself first. He heals through clarity, not comfort. And in that clarity, he becomes ready, not just to be alone, but eventually to choose better company, not out of fear, not out of need, but from strength, from abundance, from the knowledge that he is already complete. And any friend he chooses to walk with is an addition, not a remedy. Epictetus said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid." In modern times, being alone is often viewed as failure. But the Stoic accepts that judgment. He knows people misread solitude because they fear it. He walks anyway, unconcerned with their labels. So let them talk. Let them wonder. Let them ask where your friends are. You have something rarer. You have discipline. You have silence. You have direction. You are crafting a self that does not vanish when others leave. You are no longer building your life for applause. You are building it for alignment. And when the time comes, when friendship does return, you will receive it with open hands, but not with empty hands. You will come to it whole, not needing, but offering. You will be the friend who uplifts others, not because you need their company, but because you've already conquered solitude. This is what the lack of friends truly means, that now is the time to prepare, to purify, to practice. Not bitterness, not withdrawal, but strength. Quiet, humble, relentless strength. The kind that needs no audience. And if you're still here reading, listening, feeling this, it means you were meant for this season. Not everyone can endure the silence. Not everyone is chosen for this path. But you are. And that's why you'll rise from it. Not wounded, but refined. Lesson 6. Solitude is a crucible, not a curse. You don't need a crowd to grow. In fact, growth often demands the absence of it. The Stoics knew this, and they lived it long before it became a modern slogan. Marcus Aurelius, surrounded by servants, generals, and senators, still turned to solitude. In the palace, he found his inner fortress, not in others, but in himself. The noise outside was constant, but the real work happened in silence. In the stillness, the emperor wrote not for others, but for his own soul. That's your challenge now, not to fill the void with distraction, but to enter it fully aware. When you have no one to lean on, you learn what truly holds you up. And when the crowd disappears, you finally hear what your mind has been whispering all along. Most people run from this moment. They reach for their phone, for a message, for a voice. But if you can stay still, if you can face the silence without flinching, then solitude stops being suffering. It becomes sharpening. The lack of friends doesn't mean you're broken. It means you've been pulled into the forge, a place where the fire of silence strips away the unnecessary. Here, your need for approval melts. Your false identities burn. Your fears surface, and you finally meet them, not with panic, but with presence. You realize how much of your life was lived reacting to others, reflecting them, performing. And now, there's no one to perform for. That is the beginning of real freedom. The Stoics didn't isolate themselves out of contempt for people. They embraced solitude because it revealed the truth. Epictetus said, If you are ever tempted to look for outside approval, realize that you have compromised your integrity. He wasn't warning against connection, he was warning against addiction to it, the kind of dependence that quietly erodes your center. In solitude, that dependence becomes visible, and so does your opportunity to cut it. You start to notice how much time you spent adjusting your opinions to fit the room. How many habits you adopted not out of choice, but conformity. The absence of friends removes the mirror. Now you're left with yourself, unfiltered. You're forced to ask, "Do I like who I am when no one is watching?" That question can't be avoided anymore. And the answer begins to shape your next move. Solitude isn't the end. It's the space between who you were and who you are becoming. That space is sacred. It's where discipline is born, where identity is reclaimed, where power grows in silence. Not the power to control others, but to control yourself. To choose your reactions, to govern your thoughts, to act according to reason, not impulse, not approval, not emotion. The modern world doesn't teach this. It teaches that loneliness is failure, that being alone means being unwanted. But the Stoics saw the opposite. Being alone is an invitation, a calling back to yourself, to your values, to your strength. Seneca reminded, "A great mind becomes a great fortune, not a great network, not a large circle, a great mind." And the only way to cultivate one is to sit with it, quietly, repeatedly, until it becomes disciplined. There's a temptation to run, to fill the calendar, to chase temporary bonds, just to avoid sitting with discomfort. But you know that's not the way, because comfort without growth is decay. And in this moment, you've been given something most never accept, the invitation to train your soul, not publicly, not for likes or praise, but privately, for real. In solitude, the question isn't, "Where is everyone?" The question is, "Who am I becoming now that no one is here to shape me?" And that question unlocks everything. It shifts your energy inward. You stop chasing, you start building, you stop waiting, you begin moving within yourself toward clarity, toward stillness, toward action aligned with principle. It's in this state that your true identity emerges. Not the version shaped by your environment, but the version forged by discipline. You begin to understand what Marcus Aurelius meant when he said, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts." In solitude, you see your thoughts clearly, and then you choose whether to be stained or strengthened by them. That choice is the real work. Not the drama of abandonment, not the bitterness of being left out, but the daily decision to train your mind, to restrain your desires, to rise without recognition. That is the Stoic path. Quiet, firm, consistent. You don't need to be seen, you need to be rooted. It's here in this crucible that your character crystallizes, not in the crowd, not in the applause, but in the unseen hours. You lift your standards, you regulate your habits, you start to make decisions based not on how they make you feel, but whether they align with your principles. No one else is watching, and that's the point. You're no longer performing, you're practicing. And with time, something shifts. What once felt like emptiness begins to feel like structure. What once stung now strengthens. You walk with more weight, you speak with more care, you think more slowly, and you realize you didn't lose people, you found yourself. Or rather, you're finally creating the self that never depended on others in the first place. Solitude is not punishment. It is preparation. The absence of friends does not make you weak. It reveals whether you ever learned to be strong. And now you are. Not because you shouted it, but because you proved it. In the silent hours, in the lonely nights, in the decision to keep your standards even when no one else would notice. This is your training ground. Let it be hard. Let it be long. Because when you emerge from it, you'll carry something more valuable than any friendship, self-command. And with that, Every future connection you make will come from overflow, not lack. Lesson 5. The loss of friendship is a teacher, not a tragedy. Loss is never easy, especially when it comes clothed in the silence of a friend who no longer calls, a presence that once felt like home but has now become absence. But the Stoics trained their minds to see beyond the surface of events. They refused to be enslaved by grief, not because they didn't feel it, but because they knew it was a teacher in disguise. Every disappearance carries with it a lesson. If you are disciplined enough to learn it, you might want to ask, why did they leave, or what did I do wrong? But a better question, one that aligns with Stoic thought, is this. What does this event demand of my character? Because that's all any moment really is, a test of your virtue. Epictetus reminded us not to concern ourselves with what others do, but with how we respond. If a friend has walked away, the work now shifts inward. How will you rise, remain, and refine? Friendship is valuable, but not sacred. Only virtue is sacred. Only your choices are sacred. The rest, as Marcus Aurelius said, belongs to the external world, which is never fully under your control. A friend's departure may grieve you, but it should never shake your foundations, because those foundations must rest on reason, not relationship, on discipline, not dependency, on what is truly yours, your mind, your will, your conduct. Still, the wound may be fresh, and that's okay. The Stoics never told us not to feel pain. They told us not to be ruled by it. You can acknowledge the ache without surrendering to it. You can miss someone and still stand firm. You can honor the past while refusing to let it dictate your present. That balance is the work of a rational soul. And this pain has something to offer. It strips away illusions. When a friendship dies, it often reveals truths we couldn't or wouldn't face while we were inside it. Maybe you depended on that person for validation. Maybe you ignored red flags out of comfort. Maybe you shaped your values to keep them close. Now that they're gone, what's left is the real landscape, and that's where growth begins. You must be willing to look at that landscape honestly. No blame, no denial, no victimhood. The Stoic way is not to accuse or excuse, but to understand. Ask yourself, what part of this was my responsibility? Did I act with integrity? Did I remain aligned with my principles even when the friendship changed? These are hard questions, but they are the ones that build strength. And sometimes the truth will humble you. You'll see where you were needy, reactive, prideful, where you expected too much, gave too little, or allowed resentment to fester. Good. That's the mirror. Don't look away from it. Because every crack you face becomes a lesson you carry forward. Every failure you own becomes wisdom you apply later. There is no useless pain if it makes you more self-aware. Seneca taught that we must lose what is not ours as if it never belonged to us. That includes friends. They are not possessions. They are not extensions of us. They are souls on their own path. If that path diverges from ours, we must let them walk without dragging them back. To force permanence on a relationship is to violate nature, and nature, as the Stoics believed, must always be obeyed. But letting go doesn't mean forgetting. It means releasing the need to fix, to rewind, to control. It means shifting from grief to gratitude, from why did they leave to what did I learn while they were here? This reframing is not denial, it's power, because now, instead of being trapped in the past, you are extracting value from it. And what about the emptiness they left behind? That space is not a void, it's an invitation to deepen your practice, to focus on your habits, to expand your circle inward toward your own mind, your own standards, your own sense of peace. Marcus Aurelius wrote to himself, not to others, because he knew the real work was internal. You are now in the same position. Alone, yes, but not abandoned. You have yourself, and if you train yourself well, that will be more than enough. Because in the end, what matters is not who walks beside you, but how you walk alone. Not who validates you, but how you validate yourself through action, discipline, and presence. A friend who leaves simply accelerates this lesson. They remove the crutch. They reveal the areas you must strengthen. And while that may sting, it also liberates. Epictetus said, "Do not seek for things to happen as you wish, but wish for them to happen as they do, and your life will go smoothly." This is not a call to passivity, but to harmony. Harmony with what is real, what is present, what remains. The friend is gone, but your reason remains. Your virtue remains. Your commitment to excellence remains. And those, the Stoics would say, are the only friends you need to consult each day. So the question now is not, will they come back? But who am I becoming now that they are gone? If the answer is clearer, calmer, more resolute, then the loss was not a step back. It was a step forward in disguise. You don't always rise through gain. Sometimes you rise through subtraction, through the clearing of space, through the removal of what was no longer aligned. Use that space well. Don't rush to fill it with noise. Don't scramble for new friends to numb the ache. Sit with it. Let it shape you. Let it show you what you were ignoring when you were distracted by connection. Let it push you into deeper routines, into clearer thinking, into harder truths. That's where real stability comes from, not from the presence of people, but from the presence of principles. And if a new friendship comes in time, it will come on different terms, on stronger footing. You will no longer need people, you will choose them. You will no longer bend to fit. You will meet others from fullness, not hunger. That's what the Stoic strives for, to relate freely, to love without attachment, to engage without dependence. Because in the end, your greatest allegiance is not to people. It is to virtue, to reason, to the path you are called to walk. Anyone who joins you must walk beside you, not pull you off track. And if they leave, you do not crumble. You simply keep walking, eyes forward, shoulders steady, mind clear. Loss sharpens you, use it. Don't run from it, don't numb it. Let it pierce your illusions and show you what truly matters. That is the Stoic strength, not the absence of emotion, but the refusal to be enslaved by it. Not the lack of friendship, but the wisdom to walk forward even without it. And if you are walking that path now, if someone you trusted is no longer there, then good. You're in the perfect place to grow, to discipline your thoughts, to master your habits, to test your principles, and to become not bitter, but better. Lesson 4. Expect nothing, appreciate everything. It's easy to feel resentment when a friendship fades, to replay the moments where they should have stayed, to list all the things they failed to do, the missed calls, the broken promises, the silence where support should have been. But the Stoic does not dwell on what should have been. He looks clearly at what is, and what is, in this case, is absence. Epictetus taught, "What upsets people is not things themselves, but their judgments about those things." The loss of a friend is not what wounds you. It is your belief that they owed you something, that they should have acted differently, that they failed your expectations. But what if the problem is not their action, but your expectation? When you live expecting nothing, every gesture becomes a gift. Every conversation, every message, every shared moment, none of it is guaranteed. None of it is owed. So when it arrives, you receive it with gratitude. And when it fades, you release it without bitterness. This is not detachment. This is maturity. This is peace born from clarity. Gratitude is not passive. It is a decision, a discipline. And in the face of silence, it becomes an act of strength. You choose to remember the good without clinging to it. You choose to bless what was rather than curse what no longer is. The Stoics did not suppress emotion, they purified it. They removed the poison of expectation and kept the warmth of appreciation. When you expected nothing but gave everything from your own standard, you remain clean. You walk away with your dignity intact. You do not leave with bitterness because you never treated the relationship as a transaction. You were there to offer virtue, not to receive validation. That shift changes everything. Marcus Aurelius warned against becoming a feeling puppet, pulled by strings of approval and attention. He wrote, "If someone can prove me wrong and show me my mistake, I will gladly change. It is the truth I'm after, not ego." What he sought in others was not loyalty, but clarity. Not comfort, but correction. Not attention, but truth. Can you say the same? Did you want that friend to challenge you or to soothe you, to reflect your strength or to protect your weakness? Many friendships are built on silent agreements not to grow. You don't confront them, and they don't confront you. The moment one of you changes, the bond cracks, and what you call loss is simply truth rising. This is why the Stoic does not beg for connection. He prepares for change. He understands that life will take people away without notice, without closure, without apology. And so he trains his mind not to need them. He builds his peace on firmer ground. He roots his soul in what cannot be taken away. What cannot be taken is your discipline, your daily effort, your habits, your judgments, your ability to remain calm, just, and rational, even when abandoned. That is yours. That is freedom. And any relationship that compromises that is not a gift. It is a trap. When someone walks away and you remain steady, you have already won. Not over them, but over your old self. The self that would have begged, the self that would have lashed out, the self that would have clung. Now you observe, you accept, you return to your path with even more clarity than before. To appreciate everything means to see the whole picture. Not just the good memories, but the difficult lessons. Not just the connection, but the cracks. And to say, yes, that was real. And yes, it ended. And I am still here, intact, unbroken. That is not indifference. That is mastery. The Stoics did not teach us to avoid love. They taught us to love wisely, to engage without enslavement, to hold close without holding tight. Seneca said, "He is most powerful who has himself in his own power." And power is tested in loss. Can you hold yourself steady when they no longer do? You can, and you must. Because the alternative is dependency, need, the constant search for reassurance, the fear of being alone. And that fear is the root of so much dysfunction. It leads you to tolerate what you shouldn't, to chase what drains you, to attach yourself to what was never solid. But when you expect nothing, that fear dissolves. You are no longer trying to control what you cannot. You are no longer trying to squeeze permanence out of impermanence. You live open-handed. You let others come and go. And you trust that whatever leaves makes space for what should remain. There is strength in this posture. You become lighter. You move more freely. You speak with more truth. You love with more honesty because you are no longer bargaining. You are giving from wholeness, from alignment, from choice, not from need. And so the lack of friends becomes not a wound, but a window. A view into what you once demanded and now release. A look at the places where your peace was still tied to someone else's presence. And a reminder that your task was never to keep people. It was to keep yourself. You cannot control who stays. You cannot control how others grow or drift, but you can control how you carry yourself in their absence. With grace, with gratitude, with grounded resolve. That is the Stoic response, and that is the path you are on now. No friend can complete you. That is your work. No friend can protect you from loss. That is life's job, to take things away until only what matters remains. And if what remains is your character, your clarity, your practice, then you have lost nothing. So walk on, alone if needed, without resentment, without desperation, with quiet strength. And if someone worthy joins your path, you will not clutch them, you will welcome them. And if they leave, you will not collapse. You will bow gently to the lesson and continue on your way. Lesson 3. Solitude exposes your dependency, and that's good. You think you need people until you're alone, and then you realize it wasn't people. It was your fear of facing yourself. Most friendships serve as a distraction more than a connection. They fill time, they cover silence, they shield you from the confrontation that solitude demands. The Stoic doesn't fear this confrontation. He seeks it because he knows there's no freedom without it. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." But that kind of retreat only becomes possible when you've severed your dependency on others to define your worth, when the presence of another is no longer your measure of value, but a choice, voluntary, not vital. It's confronting to see just how much of your emotional world was built around others. Their attention made you feel seen, their approval made you feel right, their company made you feel secure, but none of that is stable, and none of it is truly yours. What solitude does, what the lack of friends reveals, is the fragility of your inner foundation. This is not an insult, it's a diagnosis, one that allows healing to begin. Epictetus taught, "No man is free who is not master of himself." How can you be master of yourself if your peace, your identity, your sense of value shifts every time someone enters or exits your life? That's not freedom. That's slavery to circumstance. But now, you've been given the chance to change that. Solitude is your proving ground. Each day you spend alone without collapsing into neediness is a step towards sovereignty. Each night you endure without begging for connection is a sign of emotional discipline. This is how independence is forged. Not by isolation, but by conscious detachment from emotional dependence. You begin to understand the difference between being alone and being lonely. The first is a state. The second is a story. Loneliness is what the undisciplined mind tells itself when it refuses to be still. It's the ego's cry for attention. But solitude, true solitude, is where the ego is quieted, where the self is confronted and restructured. And that confrontation hurts. It strips you. It humbles you. You see how fragile your routines were when no one was watching, how reactive your moods were when no one was regulating them, how dependent your confidence was on someone else's presence. But in that pain, you find clarity. And from clarity, you find strength. Because now, you begin to rebuild, not in reaction to loss, but in alignment with truth. You become more deliberate in how you use your time. You begin routines that are not for show. You study not to impress, but to grow. You train your body, your mind, your judgment, not for others, but for yourself. Not to fill the silence, but to rise within it. Seneca advised, "Withdraw into yourself as far as you can." This isn't escapism, it's strategy. It's the decision to return to the center, to step back from the chaos of relationships, not to escape them, but to re-enter them stronger. You will connect again, but not from weakness, from wholeness. And when you do, the nature of your friendships will change. No longer based on need or validation, but on shared values, mutual growth, real alignment. You will no longer fear losing people because you've already proven to yourself that solitude is not your enemy. It is your preparation. Lesson 2. Not all bonds are worth keeping, and that's freedom. There comes a moment when you realize not every friendship is worth saving. Not every bond deserves your energy. This thought can feel cold, ruthless even, but from a Stoic point of view, it is a form of clarity. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live." And sometimes real living only begins when you let go of what no longer aligns. Friendship is not a virtue. Virtue is the only good. Friendship, when grounded in shared virtue, becomes a treasure. But when it is built on convenience, fear, flattery, or avoidance, it becomes a chain. One that drags you away from your values, from your path, from your clarity. You feel it the moment a connection starts pulling you away from your principles instead of toward them. The Stoics were not sentimental. They were discerning. They didn't confuse history with harmony. Just because someone has been in your life for years does not mean they belong in your future. And the absence of friends is sometimes just life removing what you lack the courage to release. What you call rejection may be redirection. What you call abandonment may be liberation. Seneca warned us against this dependency when he said, "What difference does it make how much you have? What you do not have amounts to much more." This applies to people too. We often count the quantity of connections and overlook their quality. We focus on how many still remain, not whether any of them elevate us. But the lack of friends may simply mean you've outgrown superficial ties. And outgrowing is not betrayal, it's evolution. It's the moment when you realize that your pursuit of virtue, of wisdom, of discipline cannot be shared with everyone. Some will misunderstand it, some will resist it, some will mock it, and some will simply drift away. Let them go. That's not cruelty, it's respect. Respect for your time, for your focus, for your finite energy. There is a kind of loneliness that comes from honesty, from standing alone in your values, from refusing to play the games that others still enjoy. That loneliness is real, but it's not weakness. It's the price of clarity, the cost of freedom, the path of anyone who dares to live aligned rather than accepted. Epictetus was blunt. If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. In other words, if your growth causes discomfort in others, accept their distance. If your focus offends their distractions, accept their silence. You were not born to be liked. You were born to live well. And sometimes living well requires walking away from the crowd, even those closest to you, even those who once felt like home. Lesson 1. Your greatest relationship must be with reason. In the absence of friends, something ancient awakens. A silence not just of voices, but of influences. A clarity not granted by noise, but by withdrawal. And if you stay in that silence long enough, you begin to see what the Stoics always knew. The greatest relationship you will ever cultivate is not with another person. It is with your own reason. Reason is not emotionless. It is not sterile. It is not cold. It is the faculty that allows you to live in alignment with nature, with virtue, with truth. And when friends disappear, you are left face to face with it, with your judgments, with your impulses, with your choices. This is not loneliness. It is revelation. Marcus Aurelius called it retreating into the self, and he did it in the midst of an empire. You are not less human because you are alone. You are more human because you are finally undistracted. The absence of friendship is not social failure. It is a call to strengthen your rational soul, a soul that can reason through rejection, that can maintain peace without praise, that can love without needing permission to stand firm. This is where the real work begins, where you move from depending on shared opinions to forming your own, from mirroring the moods of others to stabilizing your own, from craving support to building your inner foundation. Your reason is your closest companion, and yet most people abandon it in favor of company. You are now learning to stay. Seneca warned against the corruption of the mind through uncontrolled companionship. If you would be loved, love reason, he might have said, because it is reason that preserves your dignity in loss. It is reason that steadies you when the emotional waves crash. And it is reason that calls you to higher standards, especially when no one is watching. The lack of friends strips away the mirrors. Now you see only yourself. And you must ask, is this person someone I can respect? Someone I can trust? Someone I can rely on? If the answer is no, you have work to do. If the answer is yes, you are further along than most. In both cases, solitude has done its job. It has made the truth visible. Let that truth shape your days. Make your relationship with reason the strongest one you have. Sharpen it through study, through discipline, through self-examination. Build rituals that are immune to absence, practices that thrive without applause, a standard that rises whether you are praised or forgotten. Because in the end, friends may come and go. Some will walk with you for a season. Some will turn away when your values sharpen, but reason will remain constant, demanding, empowering. That is the Stoic companion, and it is the only one that guarantees peace. There's a reason this happened. There's a reason you found yourself walking without the familiar footsteps beside you. It's not punishment. It's preparation. It's not rejection. It's refinement. The lack of friends in your life right now, whether sudden or slow, whether chosen or inflicted, is the exact condition you need to become unshakable. Because true strength isn't found in the crowd. It's revealed in silence, in stillness. In the days when no one checks in and you still rise. In the nights when no one speaks your name and you still act with integrity. That is Stoicism, not theory, not words, not ancient quotes on modern screens, but action. Action aligned with principle, regardless of how empty the room feels. You were not made to be weak in solitude. You were made to be sculpted by it. That's why Marcus Aurelius wrote alone. That's why Epictetus taught that the only true good is virtue. That's why Seneca warned of the mind being softened by too much company. They weren't dismissing friendship. They were reminding us, if your peace can be taken away by absence, it was never peace. It was dependency. And now you are learning to break that. You are not where you are by accident. This moment, where you sit without invitations, where the messages have slowed, where your circle has vanished, is not a failure of connection. It's an invitation to elevation. This is the arena where real character is forged. Where you stop outsourcing your identity, where you stop negotiating your values for belonging, where you stop chasing noise and begin listening to yourself. Yes, it's painful. Growth often is. But so is the alternative. Living a life constantly surrounded yet never centered, always in conversation but never in clarity, always known by others but never known by yourself. The Stoics chose the harder path because they understood something modern life has forgotten, that ease is often the enemy of excellence. And what is excellence? It's the disciplined soul, the rational mind, the unwavering heart. It's knowing what is yours, your thoughts, your actions, your standards, and holding them regardless of who stays or leaves. That's what you're building now, quietly, relentlessly. With or without witnesses. There will be days when you miss the old company, when the silence feels like failure, when you wonder if this path is worth the cost. In those moments, remember this. No one else can walk it for you. No friend, no partner, no crowd. The Stoic path is yours alone to choose. And what you build in solitude, no one can take. So keep building, keep rising in the quiet, keep showing up for your life, not because others are watching, but because it's right. You don't need everyone to understand you. You don't need everyone to stay. You need clarity, you need principle, you need discipline. And if you have those, then even alone, you are never lost. You are exactly where you need to be. And one day, if new friendships come, you will meet them not from hunger, but from wholeness. You won't ask them to complete you. You'll offer them the best of you. Not a version shaped by desperation, but a soul tempered by fire. And if they leave again, you won't collapse. You'll continue, steady, centered, and free. This is the work. This is the reward. This is the way. If this message spoke to something inside you, don't let it fade. Comment below. Solitude is not weakness. Let that be your marker, your declaration, your silent vow to keep walking with clarity, even when the world goes quiet. This is Stoic Diary. Stay steady, stay sharp, and walk on.